Rockwell Bibles builds heirloom custom quality Bibles using the finest premium cowhide and goatskin leathers that you won't find in any mass-produced Bible. Each one is handcrafted, and you can customize nearly every detail from the leather type and the stamping to page edges and liners. As a family-owned Christian business in the Ozarks, Adam, coming from a background in mechanical engineering, brings precision and top-tier build quality to every Bible. Whether you want to build a new Bible or extend the life of the one you already use, this is the place to go. Follow Rockwell Bibles on X, Instagram, or on Facebook to see examples of their work. And visit rockwallbibles.com to place a deposit for your custom Bible today. They also drop ready-made Bibles every Friday, but typically sell out quickly, so don't wait. Visit rockwallbibles.com. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hey guys, I'm back and we're going to talk a little bit about full preterism today. On Wednesday nights, I'm working through 2 Timothy and I'm about to be in the part in 2 Timothy where we talk about the first preterists. And I want to bring that to your attention because there's been a swing to postmillennialism over the last decade or so, primarily through the gateway drug of partial preterism. I thought it'd be helpful to look at some guardrails when it comes to that hermeneutic and some dangerous places that you can go when you begin to embrace partial preterism, and I've known people personally that have gone to full preterism, and it has barred them from membership, barred them from the table, and others who were in it who ended up coming out of it. But I want to give just a few words of caution, and I think it's such a necessary thing because partial preterism is so helpful. But let's go ahead and pray, ask for the Lord's help, and then we'll get into 2 Timothy. Okay, Father, we just ask for blessing on this time. Thank you for your word. We thank you for faithful men who help us to understand your word. We thank you for our pastors. God, I thank you for my co-pastors I get to serve with. And now I pray this be a small part of just encouraging brothers and sisters out there, primarily brothers who are just thinking through these things and listening in, and that you would just put these guardrails up in your word. Thank you that you've put the guardrails up in your word, but I ask that they would be seen and heard. And for those that may be tempted to go into full preterism, God, I pray this would some way be a restraint to them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So the gateway drug of is the partial side of things when it comes to the understanding of the scriptures, particularly Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 11 and Luke chapter 24. R.C. Sproul, in his book, The Last Days of Jesus, he starts his conversation on eschatology, on considering the Olivet Discourse, and comes to the conclusion that he is a partial preterist, believing that all of that chapter, all of that discourse has already happened. And for so many guys that are in the postmillennial world now, that was the entry in. That isn't necessarily the case historically with postmillennialism, but it certainly was the case for me. And as I was thinking through these things, obviously Doug Wilson helped, and Kenneth Gentry and David Chilton, who later became a full preterist, from what I understand, before he died. Some people are very much into Gary DeMar, and if you're familiar with what his work has developed into in the last several years, he is teetering very closely, if he's not all the way fully there, into the full preterism thing. And in this discussion, resurrection is always the linchpin of the argument. It's always the linchpin that ends up coming back to the full preterist to be able to answer for the resurrection of the dead. And if you're not aware of that discussion, then just kind of do a little bit of digging and you'll find out that the resurrection really is central to that argument. And the belief that the resurrection has not yet happened, that Christ's resurrection has happened. There is a future resurrection at the return of Christ. And with all the questions about how the return of Christ is going to happen, all those that are in the Orthodox postmillennial camp, the amillennial camp, and the premillennial camp, we all agree on the fact that there is a future return of Christ, and he will judge the living and the dead. It's critical for us to understand at that time the resurrection of the dead will happen. And if we look at our scriptures, we see guardrails, like I said in my prayer, that God puts in there. And it's just in by way of a small verse in 2 Timothy. But you can see that already circulating around the churches is this full preterism argument. It's the first full preterist that we see in the Bible. And we're told that it only upset a few people. It upset some, but it didn't upset everybody. And if you're in this discussion, if you've been following Gary DeMar, I think it's Don Preston or Prescott or something like that, that is the kind of the leading full preterist. If you get into When the Man Comes Around with Doug Wilson, you get to a point where it's like, man, okay, I could see how full preterists get to where they are. And if you're not careful, you'll do what one of my friends did. You'll jump all the way into that and effectively bar yourself from membership in a local church. And it's very unfortunate if you find yourself outside the confessions of the faith and the firm belief in the future return of Christ, then you're not going to be able to be with your family and come to the table at a local church. You're going to be on the fringe, so far on the fringe, not just outside of the camp, but literally outside of the table. You're not going to be welcomed in somewhere. It is a big deal. And when you consider it that way, this isn't just a change from premillennialism to postmillennialism. If you go full in to preterism, then there is some serious danger. But as I said, partial preterism is so unbelievably helpful, and that's where Sproul started when it came to eschatology. And when you're reading through Matthew 24, or what I did a few years ago, preached through the book of Luke, when you get to chapter 24, it all makes sense with that understanding. Like, wait a minute, this is fulfilled. It actually got fulfilled in AD 70. These things happened just the way Jesus said they would happen. And already early on within the church, there were people that were running with that and making connections with this idea of the resurrection of the dead and making a serious error. Okay, hear this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 16. But avoid godless and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their word will spread like gangrene, among whom are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Now notice, there are some whose faith is not upset. This isn't bothering them. It's not disturbing them. But then others are rightly being disturbed. They're thinking, wait, what in the world are you talking about here? What were they teaching? That the resurrection had already taken place. Well, obviously, the resurrection of Christ had already taken place. What are they talking about here? I mean, these are people in the faith. They believe in the resurrected Lord, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's ascended and he is on his throne. They know that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is their only hope. But there are some, these two men, who are teaching, no, the resurrection has already taken place. Now, probably they were tying that into the new birth, which is what a lot of full preterists do. But this is what they were doing. Nope, it's already done. It's already complete. It's not in the future. It's right now. We are resurrected right now. Well, what did Paul do? He corrected. He said, this is gangrene. It's going to spread. It's unhealthy. He actually names them. Sometimes he doesn't name false teachers at all. He just warns about false teaching and false teachers. But here he names Hymenaeus and Philetus. And I think that's critical for us to understand. This was spreading. You could also say this is the first of the prosperity theology, where they say everything right now. You should have everything right now in Christ. They sound a lot like the super apostles. There's nothing out there in the future. You should have everything that's promised to you in eternity right now. It's yours in Christ Jesus. You can just hear it coming through the television, through TCT or TBN or whatever it may be. This is the first example of full preterism in the scriptures. Look at it yourself, turn there, and consider. What's lost when you go with the teaching of Hymenaeus and Philetus? Well, what's lost is future promise, future reward, future glory. You actually rip everything out of eternity and the promise of grace in the future into today and say there's nothing else left. This jar of clay that I have is my resurrected body. I have been resurrected. There's nothing in the future. Not only does this put you outside of the historic Christian faith, but also it robs people of hope, joy, a promise of the future. If my resurrected body is already here now, then does this fall in line at all with the promise that these jars of clay are going to die and I'm going to get my body back one day? These are totally contrary messages. The when you spiritualize that which is physical or make physical that which is spiritual in the scripture, you end up obviously walking in error. And what full preterists do is they spiritualize that which is physical, Jesus resurrected bodily. Because of his resurrection, 1 Peter tells us that by his resurrection, God has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's critical, that we have been brought from death to life, so we have been spiritually resurrected. But what's the hope of the gospel? The hope of the gospel isn't just spiritual resurrection. You have to recognize the spiritual and physical promises that are attached to the good news of Jesus Christ, and that is the promise of future glory. And that's why it's always going to be the linchpin when it comes to partial preterism. If you walk into that line and you start thinking, man, maybe Christ returned in AD 70, or maybe his coming to judge on the clouds, or maybe his judgment there was his return, then you've got real serious problems when it comes to the physical promises of the nature of the gospel, the good news of glory, the fact that Christ will return and we will receive our resurrected bodies. Those who had died in Christ first will raise, that we will all receive at that moment that which is promised, which is a body like Christ. We're going to have a body that's going to live forever. We are souls with a body, body, soul, and we'll exist forever with our risen Lord, the God-man Jesus Christ sitting on his throne, and he's going to have great physical work for us to do on this renewed, restored earth. There's going to be dirt to work with. There's going to be a global garden, a universal garden to tend and to work. And it's going to be as physical, more physical than what we feel right now. This is the hope of the good news of the gospel. Don't fall into full preterism. And if you've got any buddies that are leaning into that, please have them consider 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, 17, and 18. Okay? Short and sweet today. Hope that's helpful. And by the way, this is the first day, if you're watching on video, that I did some rearranging in my office. I got higher shelves, and you can see a little bit different arrangement here. Also got some better lighting, so hopefully the quality of the video is going to be a little bit better here. So, okay, guys, thanks so much. And by the way, if you've never left a rating or review, please do that. And I hope you have a rest of your day. Good rest of your day.